Man, it's been about 2 years since I've done a podcast. And I've decided to come back to talk about this disgraceful performance that the team that I su God, it's just hard to talk. The team that I have supported for practically my entire life. I'm talking about the 3-0 loss to Sheffield United, a team that was promoted from the Championship last season, and to be honest, a team that has shocked a lot of people with their play. Their manager, Chris Wilder, has been arguably the manager of the season. And, since the restart of the Premier League, Chelsea have been one of the better teams, I would say. Outside of Manchester United, probably City and Arsenal in a way have made a surge up the table in Burnley. This has probably been the worst performance I have seen in a very long time. I know the 6-0 loss last season to Manchester City was a demolition, but this feels just like a sucker punch that I didn't even see coming. Seeing Ziyech in the Chelsea Instagram pictures, I was thinking, damn, you know what? He arrived. All we're waiting for now is Timo Werner, and then to really see him in that blue shirt and shit, we'll be right there. I'm thinking next season will definitely be great going forward. But you know what really grinds my gears about this team? And what's really pissing me off about Frank Lampard, and I love Frank Lampard, he's a Chelsea legend. The greatest goal scorer in the club's history. 3-time Premier League champion, Champions League winner, multiple time FA Cup winner. What the fuck were you thinking running a 4-3-3? Can you explain that to me? Now, I'm gonna take a look at this lineup here. You got Kepa in goal, Reece James, Kurt Zouma, Andreas Christensen, Cesar Azpilicueta, Jorginho, who we haven't really seen much since the restart, and I'm going to get into why we haven't seen much of him. And I was pushing for him to start because when he came into the game against Crystal Palace on Tuesday, he brought a lot of calmness into that midfield when we were being overrun by their physical midfield three that they ran. But I'll just continue going down the lineup. Ross Barkley, who I'll get into in a minute, Mason Mount, Willian, Tammy Abraham, and Christian Pulisic. When you have on the bench Antonio Rudiger, Marcus Alonso, Kovacic, Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi, and Olivier Giroud. Now, there's been a lot of questions in why Jorginho hasn't been in the starting lineup since the reset, or even getting a look. You had Billy Gilmore getting game time over him. For his fantastic vision, for his fantastic passing, for the calmness he brings in the midfield, in a game like this where you know that Sheffield United love to overload their flanks, and within that midfield, they look to overrun you. And press you as soon as they lose the ball or as soon as Jorginho had the ball, they were on his ass like white on rice. One of the things that he gets criticized for the most is how easy it is to run by him, how lackluster he is defensively, and just for the sheer fact that there was numerous times in the game where he got the ball and he couldn't do anything with it. Why? The high press was on him. They knew what he wanted to do with the ball. The flanks were covered because they overloaded on one side. Wherever Christian Pulisic went, that's where that seemed to have fallen. That's where Sheffield United seemed to gravitate towards, right? Now, I understand N'Golo Kanté's hurt. Kovacic is coming off an injury. But when it comes to seeing a team run a 3-5-2 where they have wing backs and three center backs who like to push wide and literally shuttle from side to side, Frank should have done what he did against Arsenal at the end of 2019. Instead of bringing on Jorginho, bring on Kovacic and change the system midway through the first half. Because I'm going to get into the back line in a second, because I'm just going to call it what it is. Having the wing backs instead of having a flat back four and two traditional wingers, Reece James was not making any overlapping runs. He was looking to pass back more than actually being more direct and actually going at the center back, going at the space that the wing backs generally left behind. They countlessly created so many 2v1 situations against Willian, against Pulisic, against Reece James, against Azpilicueta. They did that so many times during the game that it was only a matter of time before they scored. I'm really trying my best not to yell, scream, and do all that, because the game ended 10 out, like, damn, I don't know, like 9, 10 hours ago. And I'm still fuming over it. I'm getting so many text messages from my friends who support Liverpool and Arsenal and Manchester United, right? Saying, what the fuck happened to you guys? It's Sheffield United. You guys should have easily got those 3 points. No, the way that Chris Wilder set up, he already knew Frank Lampard was going to send out a 4-3-3 and allow them to just overload the flanks. Now, I'm going to get into this back line here. On the first goal, right? Ollie McBurnie volleys it in between two defenders. Kepa makes a world-class save. And I'm not going to get into Kepa because I think Kepa had a great game, a good game, honestly. Andreas Christensen, what the living fuck are you doing just standing there? What are you doing? Are your feet made of fucking cement or something? The game against Crystal Palace, so many times Christian Benteke was looking to get on him rather than backing up against Kurt Zouma because he's frail defensively. He's not making good decisions. And it seems like he's not communicating with Kurt Zouma at all because he's caught standing around 99% of the time when crosses are coming in. He's looking lost out there. Kepa makes a world-class save. It deflects back to David McGoldrick, right? Why are you just standing there, my guy? Once the ball goes in the back of the net, you're sitting here, then you're reacting. It's already too late. We're down 1-0. All I could see from that moment was this is going to be a very long day at Bramall Lane. Now, if they had fans there, that place would have been rocking, and it could have been 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It could have been 9-0, to be honest with you. Granted, they had 24% possession, but they made use of that 24% possession. You're looking at, they had 9 shots on goal. They had 9 shots and 4 on target, meaning 3 of the 4 shots on target were go. Oh my God. It's just so difficult to talk about this game because for a team that has top four aspirations, knowing that Leicester City, Manchester United is right behind you. 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. You're 2 points ahead of them. You have Sheffield, who are 6 points behind. Wolves still have a shout at the top four. And if Manchester City do get banned, right, that means fifth place is up for grabs. Sheffield United is 4 points behind Manchester United. Wolves are 6 points behind. There's still three games left to play after Monday. And I'm hoping and praying Southampton shows up in that game and has United somehow drop points, because Manchester United seem like they're going to be snatching third from us. And it just rakes my nerves, because I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a great manager. I just don't think that. But he's getting some sort of tune out of that front three. Paul Pogba seems like he found his form from the World Cup in 2018. Bruno Fernandes seems like the second coming of Cristiano Ronaldo on that team, right? So, knowing all of that, we show up with this lackluster performance. Andreas Christensen, I believe, needs to be dropped for the rest of the season. He's had two consecutive games in a row now. I can argue three consecutive games against West Ham, which that loss against West Ham was just, it was devastating. Because instead of being on 60 points, we could have been on either 61 or 63 points and not really worrying about losing a top four spot or top five spot. Now that's entirely possible. We gotta be Norwich on Tuesday. They're not playing or anything else. Now they play some expansive play. They play expansively at the end of the day. I said that about four or five times. I'm just really trying to find words right now. They don't have anything to play for. They've been relegated. They got ripped apart by Mikel Antonio single-handedly. 4-0. If we don't put four or five past them or six past them, just kiss our Champions League hopes goodbye. Because the foundation that we're trying to build hinges on us being able to play in the Champions League next season. As for now, I believe this man in particular gets a lot of stick, and a lot of it is undeserving in a way. But Tammy Abraham's performance is essentially why we went to go get a Timo Werner. If he's going to sit here and be slipping and sliding all over the place and throwing his hands up, getting frustrated because he didn't get the right pass, my guy, when you do receive the ball, you're looking to play these one-touch passes, but you're not thinking about where these passes are going. You're getting mad at Willian, at Pulisic, at Mason, even Ross Barkley to an extent. You're getting mad at him, at them, but you're not doing anything. You aren't doing anything on the field, per se. You had a few chances, sure. But this is why Giroud has been starting over you consistently since the restart. And even before that, you've had your injury problems. You've scored 16 goals in all competitions. That's great for a first-year striker in the Premier League. I'll take that. You got 14 in the league. You got 16 in all competitions. I'll take that. Because it's a better return than what Higuain gave us last year. And Morata, what he gave us. I'll take that. You're young. You're 22 years old. I get it. But you can't seriously expect any Chelsea fan to have the faith in you if you're going to continue getting frustrated and throwing your hands up. I can't reiterate this enough. People and fans are looking for a reason to hate on you. They're looking for a reason to give you that stick. And for the most part, I believe you proved them wrong. But in a game like this, You're proving your doubters right. I'm not a doubter of you. I believe in you. I think you're the future of this club. I believe we do need to build this team around you and Pulisic in a way where everything funnels through you guys and we can get you guys linked up and everything, right? My issue is you can't continue to get frustrated with yourself. Frank's looking at that and he's like, okay, if you're gonna stay fucking frustrated and if you're gonna sit here and yell and scream at the top of your lungs, I got this German guy that I just signed that will lead the line and guarantee will bang in 20 goals a season for me, just in the league. Ross Barkley, where do I begin with you? I don't think you're a bad player. I've never thought that. I've just gotten to the point where your decision making in the final third has cost us a number of goals, a number of opportunities that could have been created. It's like you're hesitant to make that killer pass. I don't get it. Is somebody holding you for ransom? But if you make this pass and break the alliance, Ross Barkley, you're wearing that number eight shirt. You're playing in the number eight role per se. But you played like a championship player in this game. Your decision making needs to improve, man. I can only do so much yelling at my TV. It's not like you guys can hear me. But at the same time, people who are invested in this club, people who want to see this team progress, and I still believe we are the best team in London. Performances like these give the Arsenal fans, the Spurs fans, the West Ham United fans, if there is any, it gives them reason to say shit to us. It gives players who have aspirations of coming to this club might want to hold back a little bit. Christian Pulisic couldn't do anything today. I'm American. I have a bias towards him. I'm not a fan of Chelsea because of Pulisic. I've been a fan of this team since 2003, 2004. Before the Roman Abramovich era came in and Jose Mourinho came in and made his stamp on the club and in London as a whole. We're still the only team in London to win the Champions League. We've won the most titles in London, per se. We're the most successful London club. Arguably the most popular London club. We can't scoot down to what Arsenal and Spurs are doing. We're building something that I believe in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to be one of the top five teams in Europe. And if we perform like this, we're not going to sign any more big time players. Now, in terms of signing big time players, I would want Kai Havertz just as much as a lot of these Chelsea fans would. But let's stop linking ourselves and stop looking at these attacking players and actually start looking at center back. Start looking at a left back. I'm not the type of person who wants Kepa to go because I don't believe that he's had as bad of a season as people have made it out to be. I believe a lot of what Kepa is going through is a result of the inconsistencies in that back four. I want to keep Kurt Zouma there because he's our most athletic defender. We need somebody who can actually win balls in the air, make tackles, and just not be afraid. We can't have Azpilicueta be our left back and then expect him to when we do need him to make those crosses into the box, do piss poor crosses almost like he had in the first half. We need to start being. The problems with Chelsea are not going forward. And everyone knows that going forward, they're one of the most exciting teams to watch when they're clicking. When the ball's being pinged around, when crosses are flying in, when Mason Mount and Ross Barkley and Pulisic are firing shots from outside the box, and you got Willian's trickery and all that. They're one of the most exciting teams to watch in Europe. But if you're gonna sit here and tell me that next season Chelsea wanna compete not just for a domestic honors but for European honors, that back line is gonna keep clean sheets. We need to be going after center backs. We don't need to be going after a Kai Havertz, a Benrahma. We don't need to be going after any of these attacking players anymore. The emphasis and the focus should be on getting that back line sorted out. We can tell that N'Golo Kanté as well is a huge miss in that midfield, because I could, if we would have had N'Golo Kanté in that game, I believe the outcome could have been a hell of a lot different. Sure, we may have lost that game because we were still being overloaded on the flanks, but N'Golo Kanté would have been the midfield destroyer that we needed in that game. Everything was being funneled from Sheffield's center defensive midfielder and being flanked out to the flanks. N'Golo Kanté covers sideline to sideline, box to box. That's what he does. That's what he's made his name off of. I mean, for fuck's sake, the French national team made a damn song about how he stopped Lionel Messi in the World Cup 2 years ago. A 3-0 loss like this, now people are gonna make jokes. Oh, like the three on the shirt, is the reason why they've been conceding like three goals. It's like, to be honest, man, they were conceding goals before they even got that sponsorship. This back line has been an issue all season, and it will continue to be an issue all season. Until they get something sorted out with that back line, and until they actually are towards the end of the season, hopefully still in the top four. I still think they'll get third. They play Wolves during the season. They play Norwich to on Tuesday, and they play the champions next week, or in about like 10 days from now. Chelsea have to win two of their next three games to be guaranteed a Champions League spot, because we still have to wait for Manchester City to see if they're going to get banned for a year or two or however long it is. Manchester United is the team that is scaring me the most right now, because they just don't seem like they're going to lose anytime soon. Whether it's against Southampton, we play them in the FA Cup. But they play Leicester to win the season, which is going to be a huge top four decider. Chelsea have to win Tuesday. It's a must win. Because to have Liverpool and Wolves to win the season, Wolves are still looking to get into that fifth spot. Wolves are still looking to get into the Champions League. I believe they'll qualify for Europe, no doubt. Wolves are going to want it just as bad as Manchester United and Leicester when they play on the final day. And what's crazy is I'm going to have about four or five screens going on just to make sure I can keep an eye on all these games. I never would have thought I would have to be scoreboard watching on the final day. I would have thought if we can get these 3 points against Sheffield and then these 3 points against Norwich, we wouldn't have to worry about the last two games of the season where I'll take a damn point from either of those two games just to make sure we're in the top four. But now it's looking like it's in serious jeopardy. By Monday, we could honestly be in fifth place. 6 points ahead of 6 points ahead of Sheffield United with three games to go. I do believe Chelsea will win two of their next three games, but they've had two games since the restart where they've had two games since the restart, man, including that Crystal Palace game where you can see the glaring weaknesses in this team, and teams are looking to exploit that wherever, any way they can. The center back pairings and their set piece defending is some of the worst I have seen in a very long time. When you think of the Chelsea teams that won the leagues, that won, not necessarily won the Champions League, but that won the leagues defensively, they were stout. They were solid. This team has conceded, I would say, close to 50 goals in the Premier League, the most they've ever done. And you're telling me this team is supposed to be a top four team? We'll see. Outside of that, just to go over a few scores here in the Premier League before I get off of this thing, because I don't know. The player of the game for me, honestly, for Chelsea, it was Kepa. Even though he got scored on three times. I mean, I can't get into like the second half. Sure, they played a bit better, and then a change of system happened where you had two wing backs in there, and then they went to a 4-2-4, which basically exposed their midfield. The minute that that ball was kicked off, and the high press was on, I knew it was going to be a long day. The same thing happened to Leicester, or the same thing happened to us against Leicester a couple weeks ago in the FA Cup, and yeah, we escaped with the 1-0 win. Don't know how, but hey, we did. Just to go over a few games here from Saturday, we got West Ham beating Norwich 4-0. Mikel Antonio with the sombrero goals. So they basically kept it. It seems like they'll be in the league next season. Norwich is going down. We got Watford beating Newcastle United 2-1. Troy Deeney on the double with two penalties. Dwight Gayle, a goal for Newcastle. And the game before the game before the shellacking that Chelsea got, yeah, Burnley won, Liverpool won. Andy Robertson in the 34th minute, and Jay Rodriguez in the 69th minute. I'll just say this. The last thing I'm going to say, I've been on for almost 30 minutes now. This team is a work in progress. I get it. They're young. The manager is young. It's his first season in the league. I get it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. This team, honestly, it needs to wake up. They're better than this. They've shown it and they've proved it. They've proved a lot of people wrong already this season. A lot of people, including experts, quote unquote experts, that had them eighth or ninth in the Premier League. This team is third with three games to go. We have a lot of work to do, And I believe that in the next three games, we will show up and we will show people why we belong in the top four. Outside of that, all I can say about this performance is wake the fuck up, Chelsea. Wake the fuck up, Frank. We can't keep favoring these English players, man. You have quality on the bench. You have quality in your squad that you're able to really fuck around with. Stop using the same damn English players that are letting you down. Stop using Andreas Christensen at center half and bring back Antonio Rudiger and pair him with Kurt Zouma, because there seems to be more cohesion with that pairing than there is with Andreas Christensen and Kurt Zouma. Hopefully, the game on Tuesday, we have N'Golo Kanté back. And we need these 3 points on Tuesday, man. I can't stress this enough. We have to win. Outside of that, I'm out of here. I'm sorry for the stuttering. I'm just kind of like distraught over seeing how easy it was for this team that normally likes to sit back, tear us apart when they needed it to tear us up, they did it. That's all I can really say. I'm out of here, guys. I thank you all for listening. I subscribe if you're new. And until then, the best team in London is Chelsea. I'm gonna keep saying it. I'm gonna keep on hammering it. So yeah, I'm out. Peace.